Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, or his ear dull that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have made a separation between you and your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you so that he does not hear. I'm reading right now from the prophet Isaiah chapter 59, which on your pew Bible can be found on page 619. As Isaiah was recognizing that judgment was going to come upon Israel and Judah, but then was going to talk about the hope that would come later, he talks about the sin that separates us from God. And then in Isaiah 59, beginning at verse 9, he says, because of that sin, therefore justice is far from us, and righteousness does not overtake us. We hope for light, and behold, darkness. And for brightness, but we walk in gloom. We grope for the wall like the blind. We grope like those who have no eyes. We stumble at noon as in twilight. Among those in full vigor, we are like dead men. We all growl like bears. We moan and moan like doves. We hope for justice, but there is none. For salvation, but it is far from us. For our transgressions are multiplied before you, and our sins testify against us. For our transgressions are with us, and we know our iniquities, transgressing and denying the Lord and turning back from following our God, seeking oppression and revolt, conceiving and uttering from the heart lying words. Doesn't always feel like we're walking in darkness. Very often we think we know exactly what we are doing. And yet when we walk according to the futility of our own minds and our own thinking, we do walk in darkness. We walk without understanding. We are groping, and we are dead in trespasses and sins. But Isaiah goes on for us here. And in Isaiah chapter 59, beginning in the middle of verse 15, he says about our God, the Lord saw it and was displeased that there was no justice. He saw that there was no man and wondered that there was no one to intercede. Then his own arm brought him salvation, and his righteousness upheld him. He put on righteousness as a breastplate and a helmet of salvation on his head. He put on garments of vengeance for his clothing. He wrapped himself in zeal as a cloak. According to their deeds, so will he repay wrath to his adversaries, repayment to his enemies. To the coastlands, he will render repayment. So they shall fear the name of the Lord from the west and his glory from the rising of the sun. For he will come like a rushing stream which the wind of the Lord drives. And a redeemer will come to Zion to those in Jacob who turn from transgression, declares the Lord. He sees the sin. He sees the injustice, and he looks for someone to intercede. He looks for someone who will stand in the gap, for someone that will redeem and bring redemption for those who are in sin, and he finds no one. So he comes himself, and he redeems, and he brings light. And so we continue into chapter 60 and verse 1, as the prophet speaks to the people now. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. For behold, darkness shall cover the earth, and thick darkness the peoples. But the Lord will arise upon you, and his glory will be seen upon you, and nations, Gentiles, shall come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your rising. We are redeemed. And we are made light. And so Isaiah says, rise and shine that light. There will be darkness around us. But when we rise and the light of the Lord is shining on us and in us and through us, the nations around us will be drawn to the Lord. And so we must arise. I bring this passage to our attention this morning because as we are continuing in our series in Ephesians, and we come to Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 14. Paul is not quoting this passage. In fact, it doesn't appear that he's quoting any passage in the scriptures. But he is quoting something. What most believe is it must be some type of early Christian song, and very probably an early Christian song based on the passage in Isaiah that we just read. Because in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 14, he says, "Therefore it says, awake, O sleeper, and rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you." This is what he is calling us to do. He is calling us to arise, to awake from sleep, to rise from the dead, to let Christ shine on us, to let Christ shine in us, to let Christ shine through us. Back in chapter 4, verses 17 through 18, and now I'm in Ephesians, and by the way, if you're looking for this in the Pew Bible, it's on page 978. You'll want to put your finger here or a marker or piece of notebook paper or something, because we're going to be coming back to this passage throughout the entire sermon. But back in chapter 4, verses 17 and 18, Paul had explained that we must no longer walk as the Gentiles. The three things he says about them in their walk. They walk first in the futility of their mind. They walk second, because of that futility in the mind, with darkened understanding. And third, because of the futility of their mind and darkened understanding, they have lives that are alienated from the life that is in God. And for the next chapter and a half, what Paul does is he addresses each of those things in reverse order. And so in our last lesson on Ephesians, we recognize that instead of walking in alienation, a relational term, we must walk in love. In our next lesson, we will learn that instead of walking in the futility of our minds, we should, as it says in Ephesians 5:15, walk not as unwise, but as wise. But today, what we want to do is attack the darkened mind and darkened understanding. And we want to talk about walking as children of light. In Ephesians chapter 5, verses 6 through 14, he addresses that instead of walking with darkened understanding, what we need to do is arise and awake from sleep and arise from the dead and allow the light of Christ to shine on us and in us and through us and walk as children of light. And so he says, "Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore, do not become partners with them. For at one time you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of light is found in all that is good and right and true. And try to discern what is pleasing to the Lord. Take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them. For it is shameful even to speak of the things that they do in secret. But when anything is exposed by the light, it becomes visible. For anything that becomes visible is light. Therefore it says, awake, O sleeper, arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you." Praise God. Before we unpack this passage, would you bow with me in prayer, please? God and Father in heaven, you are the glorious God, and we fall so far short. We have walked in the futility of our minds. We have walked with darkened understanding. We have walked alienated from you in ignorance and stubbornness, following after the passions of the flesh, greedy to practice sin and immorality. And Father, even as we have entered Christ, that darkness sticks. And we need your help and we need your strength. Help us remember that we are light. And help us to put to test your word and your will by obedience and discovering that your way indeed works. Father, help us to be light, to shine your light. Forgive us for the times that our actions have veiled the light for those in the world around us to see. And I pray that you would give us victory over the tempter and over sin, that we might become more and more like your Son, Jesus, who is the light. And help us this morning as we consider these words of your servant Paul as he has advised us and instructed us to walk as children of light, that we might heed these words and that today we will shine brighter and that tomorrow we will shine brighter. And Father, when we fall and fail and fumble, we pray that you would forgive us and lift us back up. Help us help one another shine the light. May we stand so close together, Father, that none of us will fall down. And may we bring you glory because you are bringing us to glory. Father, help us to shine your light. We love you, Lord God. Thank you for loving us first. It is through your Son, Jesus, whose light shines on us, we pray. Amen. There are four instructions essentially that Paul gives in this passage as he encourages us to walk as children in light. The first thing we find in verse 6, let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. The first thing that we need to learn if we are going to walk as children of light is that we must listen to the truth and not the liars. We must listen to the truth and not listen to the liars. We are not walking in neutral territory. We live behind enemy lines. We are surrounded by the darkness of the devil and the world and the sons and daughters of disobedience who follow. We should not be surprised that he gives us this advice to not listen to those who would deceive us. Back in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 25, as he was telling us to stop acting like the Gentiles, he says, therefore, having put away falsehood, let each one of you speak the truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. When we enter Christ, we have to put away falsehood. We have to put away the lies. It should not surprise us at all to know that those who are outside of Christ continue to linger in the lies and the deception and the falsehood. That should not surprise us at all. In fact, do we remember how all of this started in the beginning? When God made a very good world and he placed man and woman in the garden and he said, you can eat from any tree in the garden except that one right there. Because if you eat from that one in that day, you will surely die. And the serpent came into the garden, crafty and cunning more than any beast of the field. And he asked Eve, has God indeed said that you shall not eat from every tree in the garden? And she said, well, we can eat from any tree, but not that one. We can't even touch that one because he said on that day, we'll surely die. Ah, surely God didn't say that, because God knows in the day that you eat of it, you'll become like him, knowing good and evil. And so she looked at that tree. She saw that it was delight to the eyes, just like all the other trees. Saw that it was good for food, just like all the other trees. But now she's been convinced that this tree, more than any of the other trees, would make her wise. And so she takes from it and she eats. And when God comes on the scene and asks her, why did you do that? She said, the serpent deceived me, and I ate. The serpent deceived, and she ate. This is the serpent's modus operandi. This is our enemy's procedure and method of operation, is to deceive. And those who are still outside of Christ are deceived. And they pass on the deception. Now, here's the problem. The problem is twofold. First of all, the fact is those who are outside of Christ don't know that they are deceived. That's the whole nature of being deceived. They don't know that they're deceived. They don't know that they're lying to us. And so I can understand if you're outside of Christ, it might be even offensive for me to say that you're living in those lies and passing on those lies. But I hope the truth can shine and we can all be set free. But the second problem and the second struggle is the fact that sometimes it appears that those who are walking according to the lies are better off. I'm looking in Psalm 73 right now. It's on page 485 in your pew Bibles. In Psalm 73, this is a worship leader in Israel, I want to point out. And what this worship leader in Israel describes in Psalm 73, he begins the psalm, "Truly God is good to Israel, to those who are pure in heart. But as for me, my feet had almost stumbled. My steps had nearly slipped, for I was envious of the arrogant when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. For they have no pangs until death. Their bodies are fat and sleek. They're not in trouble as others are. They're not stricken like the rest of mankind. Their pride is their necklace. Violence covers them as a garment. Their eyes swell out through fatness. Their hearts overflow with follies. They scoff and speak with malice. Loftily, they threaten oppression. They set their mouths against the heavens. Their tongue struts through the earth. Therefore, his people turn back to them and find no fault in them. And they say, 'How can God know? Is there knowledge in the Most High? Behold, these are the wicked, always at ease. They increase in riches. All in vain have I kept my heart clean and washed my hands in innocence.'" I mean, the fact is, the lies of the enemy are attractive. They offer pleasure and comfort, wealth and riches, a good time. And sometimes it looks like those who are living according to the lies are better off. And this actually helps us understand the great lie. Because in order to get us to continue walking as we walked before we entered Christ, in order to get us to go back to the falsehood instead of the truth, to steal instead of to work, to have corrupt speech instead of pure speech, to have malice and envy and hatred instead of love and tenderness and compassion, he'll tell us all kinds of lies. But I think the overwhelming lie is demonstrated not only by what Asaph goes on to see, but if we go back to Ephesians chapter 5 and we see what Paul tells us in verse 6, "Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience." Doesn't that demonstrate the great lie? Oh, it's no big deal to do this sin just this once. Oh, I mean, what did he say to Eve at the beginning? "You will not surely die." No, this is not that big of a deal. You Christians, y'all make mountains out of molehills. Look, nobody here is asking you to go be Hitler. Ah, why does it matter if we cheat just a little bit on the job, embezzle just a little bit here and there, tell a little lie now and again, commit a little immorality? It's just good fun. It won't matter. But what Paul explains to us is because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the disobedient. And that's exactly what Asaph recognized in Psalm 73 as he went to the sanctuary, as he went to worship, and he says, "I remembered their end." And so what Paul explains to us, if we are going to walk as children of light, the first thing we have to do is I've got to listen to the truth, to God's truth, not the deceitful schemes of the devil surrounding us, even coming through those who are friends and neighbors who love us, but they don't even know they're deceived. We need to listen to the truth and not to liars. The second thing that Paul demonstrates to us, the second thing that he instructs us as we walk as children of light, remind yourself who you are. Remind yourself who you are. Here's how he says it. In verse 7, "Therefore do not become partners with them, for at one time you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord." Twice in this passage, he tells us not to partner with darkness and not to partner with the work of darkness, not to have fellowship in that, not to share in that, not to go along with that. And so I could have labeled this point, "Don't partner with darkness." But I think the bigger point in this sentence is not "don't partner with darkness." I think we know that one. It's the why we should not partner with darkness. Is he saying don't partner with darkness because God has some rules, and if you partner with darkness, you'll be violating those rules? I mean, while that's true, that's not what Paul says. He says, don't partner with them. Because you were once darkness, but now what are you? In Jesus Christ, in the Lord, you are light. He says, don't do these things anymore because it's not who you are. It's who you were. That's who you were. That's not who you are. Who you are is light. So don't partner with that anymore. By the way, did you notice? Pay care. In fact, let me just go ahead and read it word for word right now here again. Verse 8. For at one time you were darkness, but now you are light. Do you catch that he doesn't say here, for one, at one time you were in darkness, but now you are in light? That's not what he says. You see that? What's he say? What he says is, you were darkness, but now you are light. So you've changed. We remember what it said in Ephesians chapter 2 about what we were when we were in darkness. In Ephesians chapter 2, beginning at verse 1, and you were dead in the trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath like the rest of mankind. And some of us push back and say, no, I was never that bad. But the point is not that everybody outside of Christ goes as far as they could possibly go in all of this sin and immorality. The point is with which path is being walked. And it's not about how far along that path you go. It's about the fact that of where that path leads. He says you were by nature children of wrath. So this is what you had become. Sin had changed us on a level that we can't even see. It had made us into the kind of people who lie, who cheat, who steal, who hate, the kind of people who murder and commit sexual immorality and adultery and homosexuality, the kind of people who betray. We had become those people. He said, you were by nature children of wrath. But in Christ, it's not what we are anymore. In entering Christ, we have become something new. The one who dwells in unapproachable light has made us light. And we need to remind ourselves of who we are. Do you remember The Lion King? I hope I'm talking to people who, you know, Gen X, grew up on The Lion King and then thought it was great, so you passed it on to your kids. You remember The Lion King? Do you remember that scene where Simba sees the spectral Mufasa? And I almost named this point, Remember Who You Are, because I really wanted to try to do the James Earl Jones voice of, Remember Who You Are. You remember that scene? Now, while the worldview of The Lion King is actually not accurate, the point in that scene is very similar to what we're talking about here. You know, it breaks my heart that the anthem of The Lion King is Hakuna Matata, right? That's the song we remember because it's fun. It's fun to sing. We like that. But that shouldn't be the anthem of that movie, because the point of that movie was not Hakuna Matata. The anthem of that movie ought to be, he lives in you. He lives in me. That's the one we should be remembering. And of course, when we sing it, we're not talking about our dad. We're talking about our father. And just in case my tone of voice there didn't express exactly what I was saying, when we sing, he lives in me, he lives in you, we're not talking about our biological father, we're talking about our heavenly father. And in that scene, what he's told is you've forgotten who you are, and because you've forgotten who you are, you're not acting like who you are. You see, Hakuna Matata is fun, and it gives pleasure in the moments, but ultimately it is empty and meaningless. Here was the king and he's now eating bugs. What he needed to do was remember who he was and go act like it. And that's what Paul is telling us. And I said remind yourself of who you are because even though I really wanted to say remember who you are, I just realized that when we say remember, we view that as kind of a passive thing. Remembering is just kind of this thing that happens every once in a while. We've forgotten some things and then it comes back to us and we remember. That's not what we're talking about. What we're talking about here is remind yourself who you are. In the face of the lies, in the face of the temptations, remind yourself, that's not who I am anymore. That's who I was, but it's not who I am. I am light. And so I'm going to act like light. I'm going to choose light. I'm going to glory in light. I'm going to be glad in the light. Please recognize what the other thing Paul doesn't say. The other thing Paul doesn't say is try really, really, really hard to do light things so that maybe you can become light or impress God with your light. That's not what he says. What he says is you are light, so choose light. Remind yourself, this is who I am. This is what I love. I don't love that old man or old woman. Remind yourself who you are. Don't listen to the liars, listen to the truth. Remind yourself who you are. Third, what Paul brings up is that we need to put what pleases the Lord to the test. Now, I know that sounds odd. Allow me to explain. We need to put what pleases the Lord to the test. Here's what he says in the last half of verse 8, walk as children of light. There it is. For the fruit of the light is found in all that is good and right and true. And try to discern what is pleasing to the Lord. Now, if for a moment we skip the parentheses, we pull that out. What he says is, walk as children of light and try to discern what is pleasing to the Lord. That's the main sentence. Now, unfortunately, the way the English Standard presents it, it sounds like what Paul is saying is, walk as children of light and try really, really hard to figure out what is pleasing to the Lord. But that's not what this discern word means. If you look in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 7, in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 7, which is on page 1014 in your pew Bible, 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 7, we find the word, but it's translated differently here. In 1 Peter 1 and verse 7, as he's talking about our faith and talking about being grieved by various trials, he says those trials will come, verse 7, so that the tested genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire. The exact same word is that word tested in the phrase tested by fire. The earlier word tested is a form of that word. It's an adjective that goes along with this verb, but tested by fire. That's what this word means. This word is the idea at its heart, at its root. It's not just try really hard to try to figure something out. It's the idea of put something to the test so you can discover what it is. And so with that in mind, let's look at another passage, a very similar passage to the one in Ephesians. Let's go to Romans chapter 12 and verse 2. In Romans chapter 12 and verse 2, which is on page 947 in your pew Bible, in Romans chapter 12 and verse 2, notice how this is similar. For those of you who've been with us through the Ephesians series, you'll pick up on some things similar. Romans 12 and verse 2, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind. That sounds familiar, right? That by testing, you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. That whole phrase, that by testing you may discern, that's actually translating the same word that we have in our Ephesians passage. So the idea of discernment there is not just try really, really hard to figure out what it is. It's put it to the test so you can discern something about it. And it's really very much the same thing as we have here in Romans 12, 2. What does he say? He says that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. His point there is that by testing it, by putting it to the test, you can discern that God's will is good and acceptable and perfect, which is exactly his point in Ephesians chapter 5. In Ephesians chapter 5, when he says discern, that by testing you may discern what is pleasing to the Lord, and now we find out what it is that we're learning about it, and that's the parentheses. What's in the parentheses? For the fruit of light is found in all that is good and right and true. But I want you to notice how we put it to the test. How do you put it to the test? You do it. You put it to the test by doing it. You put it to the test by obeying it. You've said, I'm light, and so I'm going to choose light. And by obeying it and by walking in it, what I am going to discover is that it is good and it is beautiful and it is right and it is true. And so if I'm going to walk as a child of light, I'm going to put God's words to the test. The ultimate test. I'm going to walk on them. I'm going to walk in them. I'm going to walk with them. I'm going to put them to the test. And what Paul is telling you guys, you may have already figured this out. What Paul is telling you is that when you put God's ways to the test, you know what you find out? God's way works. God's way works. Put it to the test. Put it to the test. Which leads us to his final instruction. Let your light shine despite the reactions from the darkness. So he says in verse 11, repeating again, take no part. Don't be a partner. Take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them. For it is shameful even to speak of the things that they do in secret, but when anything is exposed by the light, it becomes visible. For anything that becomes visible is light. Yes, once again, we're told don't partner in the darkness. But the important point is the reaction to that, not that point. He says, instead of partnering, expose the darkness. Now, if I understand what Paul is saying, I don't think what he means is that what we're supposed to do is troll around and find everybody who's doing something in darkness, wag our finger in their face and accuse them of, that's darkness. I don't think what he means is every time we see something we disagree with on social media, we've got to make sure to write up a post about how wicked and awful it is and all the people around us. I think what he's saying is shine your light. Walk in light. You are light. Live as light. And do you know what living as light does? Living as light exposes darkness for what it is. Living as light exposes darkness for what it is. But let us not be naive. Let us not believe that when we live as light, that those who are in darkness will just be okay with it. Because what Paul says here reminds us of what we find in John chapter 3. In John chapter 3, beginning at verse 19. In John 3:19, which is on page 888 in your pew Bible. John 3:19, page 888. And this is the judgment. The light has come into the world, and people loved the darkness rather than the light because their works were evil. For everyone who does wicked things hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his works should be exposed. But whoever does what is true comes to the light so that it may be clearly seen that his works have been carried out in God. The darkness doesn't like the light. And for those who walk in darkness, for those who are darkness, when the light shines, one of two things will happen. The light will either expose the darkness and they will be convicted that it's darkness, which, by the way, that word exposed can carry that idea of conviction. Convicted, this is darkness. And they will repent and they will become light. Which is why Paul says anything that's made visible is light. When it's exposed, when it's rebuked, when it's convicted, it produces light. Or or they'll push back against it. They'll run from it. They'll deny it. They'll criticize it. They'll belittle it. They'll mock it. They'll persecute it. They'll say all manner of evil against us falsely. And this is the thing that we need to understand, is that when we live as light, the darkness will push back. But we need to shine the light anyway. Shine the light of love and tenderness and mercy and truth, compassion, conviction. We need to shine the light even when we're suffering because of it. We need to shine the light even when people are accusing us falsely. And we need to know this, that what the darkness will do is the darkness will look for the hypocrites among us. And I know you're here. I don't know who you are. I'd talk to you personally, but I know you're here. Look for the hypocrites among us. And because of the hypocrites, we'll discredit and discount the rest of us. And what the darkness will do, we'll look for the places where we stumbled and fumbled and faltered and fell. Even those of us who aren't hypocrites, we fumble, we falter, we struggle. And they'll find those things. And they'll dismiss us. And we'll feel the shame of that. But what we need to do is shine the light, no matter how others react, because we are light. And though our light is sometimes dim, we hang on to Jesus, the true light, and let him grow us in the light. Which gets us to the very end, to that passage that we started at the beginning. Awake, O sleeper! Arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. That's what Paul is getting at. That's what Paul is telling us. We're light. We were darkness, but we are light. And so what we can do now is we can awake from our sleep, we can arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on us, in us, and through us. And I go back to Isaiah. Chapter 60, and I remember what the prophet said. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. For behold, darkness shall cover the earth, and thick darkness the peoples, but the Lord will arise upon you, and his glory will be seen upon you, and the nations, the Gentiles, they shall come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your rising. You want to make a difference in this world? Arise, awake, and walk as children of light. How are you doing at that? If you'd like to, you can put your Bibles and notes away. If you want to follow along in the songbook, you can pull that out. Although, I actually don't remember what number it is. Sorry. The words will be on the screen. Are you still dead in your trespasses and sins? Following the prince of the power of the air, following the course of this world? Or have you decided to lay aside the death, to lay aside the darkness, to allow Jesus Christ by his grace through the cross to bring you to life and to make you light? If we can help you with that this morning, oh, we so desperately want to. We're going to sing a song. And while we sing it, if you want help with that, you can come to the front and we'll be happy to talk to you. We'll be happy to help you enter Jesus Christ. Peter had said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, and you'll receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. If we can help you with that this morning, won't you please come right now as we stand and sing?